Strict tables, we tack morals on these fables. We collect afflictions and we polish them like silver. We eat up time in giant bites and wash them down with another helping of that happiness elixir. We're dealing justice, but no justice to the destitute. We're too busy trying to bust all the dope heads and prostitutes. I advertise we punish crimes by default anyway. If there's some money to be made, we'll look the other way. We keep strict tables, we tack morals on these fables. We collect afflictions and we polish them like silver. I fashioned an antenna to be some sort of sinner, of the universe for me and all my friends, who came to see this thing for me that rubbed the bark right off the tree, and in a pile of litter it comes. There's someone in the basement. He says he's your replacement. We're forgiving you for never being strong. There's pictures in the attic make you dizzy from the static. We're forgiving you for always being wrong. And in a pile of litter it comes, with two left feet and all thumbs, and in the creation struck dumb. In the creation struck dumb. The word infliction holds hope against a mast, a military mast so righteous and holy. Does progress justify process? What is the measure of a man? Might? Right? In our determination, do we exclude the possibilities of failure? Got a sleeper arm, triggers the bells and whistles. Comes on with brittle skin, wakes up the neighborhood. Appears in triplicate. The rot gutter, the 12-year-old scotch. Smells it on his crotch. Says, what crime is the victim guilty? Irregardless of past events, we pick up where we left off. Same thing. Cut down on these apologies on account of I've been left to die. What are the chances of falling off? What are the chances of getting back on? We wince once again, or we go back and lose the time. This is not a test. My hands are trembling in pockets of fire. I can't take my pride. But then again, I can't fake my pride either. Oh, Lord, is this a test? Oh, Lord! Oh, Lord, is this a test? One step to the right means one step to the left. There's no fighting me left, and I'm all out of breath. And you won't be the death of me. No, you won't be the death. One step to the left means one step to the right. I'm all barking, no bite, and I'm losing the fight. I thought you were the life of me. I thought you were the life of me. We fooled the self. I dreamed that I was asleep. It was black. There was no one else there. I was breathing in and out. I couldn't see. I couldn't hear. I couldn't speak. It was a place with no language. Cancel all of my vision. Poke out my eyes. Instinct is reflection of your impossibilities. Is, was, I am humble, I am cruel, I am cruelty, I am a fool. The gesture makes a perfect target for those with little time. What's the big surprise? Is there something I'm ignorantly wanting? You seem to like me wanting. Don't tell me this, don't tell me that. Don't make me sorry I listened. Safety in numbers. Accidents happen too often. It's a perfect fit. Nothing wrong here, nothing wrong there. It's back to square one, something I'm not in the mood for. I can't stand the feeling I get when I'm all out of ideas. There's nothing to gain from feeling what I feel. I need to consume. Who cares from where all these blessings flow? All wrapped up neatly and tied with a bow. What is time to the dope? Just enough rope. I don't want to do it, I don't. I don't want to do it, I won't. We fool the self in our tragic masculinity. It just takes a handshake and we're all forgiven. We've got 1,000 miles behind us and 1,000 miles ahead.
Yeah, it's been cool this week.
And we got a visit, brother man.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Fred.
All the way from Portlandia to Pedro.
How you guys doing?
Wow. Yeah, that's right.
Here's the connection.
But I think there's a Chicago connection, too, though.
I lived in Chicago for quite a few years.
Yeah. Well, let's start from the beginning. I got to say, we start the show off with John Coltrane doing a configuration with Rashid Ali. I met him. He had a turtle shell for a hat.
Cool. A little helmet-like thing, huh?
Kind of. Yeah, maybe it was. But it was very... original, I thought. And then we heard Pete Stewart from Trophy Wise out in Wichita Falls, Texas, John Johnson doing two left feet and all thumbs. Yeah, let's start from the beginning. What's your earliest musical memory?
My earliest musical memory is when I was a kid. I can't remember what age, maybe four. My parents bought me the 45 of Sammy Davis Jr., the Candyman.
Cool. Where were you a kid at?
Long Island, New York. So I just remember. Yeah. Yeah. So that's my earliest memory of playing that 45 over and over again.
They got it for you. Yeah, my first music that I bought was a 45 too.
Yeah.
But they got it for you. Was it like a present?
I can't remember.
Birthday or Christmas?
I can't remember. It's one of those presents that just materializes. All of a sudden, it was in the house.
Right.
And there
I remember
it was.
That too.
And it wasn't for them. It was more. It was clearly for kids. Mm.
I wonder though, because reading about Sammy later, he had some struggles with the candy man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yes. I gather that I would you know.
You know. He's an interesting guy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's, especially at that time, country needed a cat like him.
Yeah.
And his pals.
Yeah.
Supported him.
Yeah.
That group.
Rat Pack dudes.
Right.
I feel like the older I get, the more I...
Less young.
Well, I feel like...
You banish that old word.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's right. I feel like the more miles I get, I attain, the more I appreciate... what these people were, Sammy Davis Jr., all these just being entertainers, and the fact that he wasn't in a rock band,
yes.
Now I get more what everyone was trying to do. So
I was reading this book on him, and in England he liked a drink called Pimm's.
Uh-huh.
I've always wondered what that shit tastes like.
Yeah.
I've seen the bottles, but
they got all these things.
Fair enough. Oh wow. Martini.
Yeah. It's
no,
like
Martino.
All the stars
from
that.
I think he took the last letter off.
Yeah, from Steubenville.
That's right, Ohio. Yeah. My head from Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steubenville. It's almost Pittsburgh. And also West Virginia. It's like a tri-state thing there. It's right by the river.
Yeah, it's a trippy show, though. I had like all the stars of that time just kind of getting drunk, having fun on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he lost his son in a plane crash, and broke his heart.
I didn't know that.
But that's the cat Frank Sinatra really liked, because
yeah.
the casualness in his singing. He never had to try. It just rolled out.
Uh-huh.
That's what I was reading. Frank was envious. Like Elvis was envious of Roy Orbison.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Really? Was he?
Yeah, I read about that. He was scared of his voice.
Wow.
I just saw these...
Elvis... What's that about?
Fran Sinatra and Dame Martin... These two chicks who were playing, they were like in limbo in heaven. They were, since they were womanizers, had to come back, and they just did like a parody on all the songs. Just Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra up there, but their chicks doing this act was pretty cool. Yeah.
Duetman.
Yeah.
Dooley.
Yeah, up in Fresno. When I was in Fresno last month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I had to find some entertainment. So.
Uh-huh. Bulldog. That's an intense town. Pop. Retired from the Navy near there, Clovis.
Yeah, they had a rogue festival of all kinds of arts and stuff.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did your dad end up just living there and staying there in Fresno then?
Yeah, he's planted there. He wanted to be buried at sea, but they put him in the ground.
Uh-huh.
So he's there. 52, the cancer. He's a nuclear engineer.
Uh-huh.
Navy, never again volunteer yourself. Uh-huh. He was from a town further up north from there called Red Bluff. 17 years old and no punk bands yet, so he joins.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I used his life in the Navy for my parallel on the first stop of trying to talk about losing you. Okay, so Candyman, Sammy Davis, Long Island. You're a listener at this time.
Yeah.
What about, what drove you to be a doer?
To actually want to do music, it was, I would say in elementary school, I just wanted to play the drums. I was drawn to them. I wanted to learn.
They had a kit in there?
I had a kit. My dad bought me a kit.
Oh, but did the school have one? Because, you know, they got...
No, the school...
School's got rid of music.
This was more sort of, they had rubber pads to practice on.
Oh, practice pads.
And then some snare drums, some tenor drums. There was one kit, I remember, that, like, a special drummer or something would get to play. But for the most part, it was pads and, you know, it was just learning the rudiments.
But they did have a school band, like an orchestra.
Yes.
And you could take classes.
Yeah.
There. And that continued. I got kicked out after 10 weeks at the one over here. His name was Mr. Looney. He goes, Mr. White, you try hard, but, you know, this is from a class, you know, don't waste your time, don't waste my time.
What instrument was it?
Don't waste our time.
What instrument was it?
Clarinet.
Clarinet?
Seventh grade.
Uh-huh.
And, I wanted to do sax with the other 50 guys. It was in the other
room.
Clarinet, licorice stick. In fact, in the older days, it was Artie Shaw. And, yeah, it was a...
Man, after spending a couple of days in New Orleans, you did dig on that clarinet.
Yeah.
It's cool.
But maybe I was speaking that. I don't know. I never tried music in school again, though. So, did you get into the school band?
I got into it. And then I just kept playing. I just always loved the drums.
Home, you got a kit.
Got me a kit.
Now, where'd you play?
In the basement. In the basement of my house. So a very suburban Long Island house. Yeah.
So they dealt.
They were fine with it.
Yeah. Okay.
They were fine with it.
I obviously dealt with it, but that was a little.
Yeah. I can't believe it. You know, I took it for granted back then, but now I think, wow, that's a lot of noise to put up there.
You buy your enemy neighbor's kid the drum set, so it drives them insane.
Yeah.
So, no, but this is you. Now, was he the kind, most cats where the parents get them instruments, they say, okay, I'm going to get this for you, but you got to take lessons.
I was taking lessons.
And school. What was the teacher? What is his name? You got to give him some credit, right?
Joe Martignet.
Okay, Joe, thanks.
Yeah, so thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
It was great because we talked a lot about music and...
So he brought in, like, records and stuff.
Yeah, and we talked about it, too.
Yeah,
I remember him talking about... We even talked about religion and how he didn't believe in religion and stuff. So it was a very, like, for a kid, it was a really great way to get introduced to what, you know, music was about.
Yeah. Meanwhile, at school, and he's an older dude, he ain't a peer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But what about at school? Was there dudes that...
No one really, you know...
Wanted to play, so no one wanted to make a band.
No. There's one kid, my best friend, Kenny Young.
Yeah.
We both got into punk together. He introduced me to punk. And
how'd that happen?
He just knew about, like, all the hardcore bands from that Alternative Tentacles compilation. Yeah. Let Them Eat Jelly Beans.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
There are all those bands on there, like Flipper and everybody. And that's from through that, we just started getting into it. And then
did he make you mixtapes? Cassettes?
This is before the ability to do that. Like, all he had was a turntable. So he'd play, show me these pictures of the Dead Kennedys.
Because I know a lot of cats that got into this movement from these mixtapes.
Right, yeah. We didn't have that, you know, we weren't able to do that yet.
Yeah.
And then I would buy, you know, I remember a Blondie record, a Ramones record. So we sort of came in a little late to the game, but we just started getting into punk.
Now, have you been to any gigs before that?
No. Okay. No. Too young.
No, because I'm like, before punk, arena rock for me.
Yeah.
So you didn't have any of that to deal with. Good.
Yeah.
Clean slate.
Yeah.
Clean slate. Let's listen to some music.
Somebody's gonna blow the whistle on who drums in high places. They're collecting your numbers and your personal data. And if you speak out, they'll paint you into a corner, brand you a terrorist, communist informer. Like a bird on the wing, like glory in the flower, your freedoms are fading by the hour. The whistleblower's a man of integrity, trained by the elite. He's hardly a spy, he's just fed up with a corrupt authority, invading your privacy, while real spies run free. By imperialist decree, he's indicted for treason, for informing the people like you and me. Like a bird on the wing, like glory in the flower, your freedoms are fading by the hour. Congress House, he's a traitor, while a high echelon tribunal of stooges
gives him 30 years in the slammer for leaking secrets and public abuses. The whistle is blowing for you and me, but ain't it some kind of tragedy? Some people don't know how to be free, or just too broke dick for your own destiny. Like a bird on the wing, like glory in the flower, your freedoms are fading by the hour. The president orders squadrons of drones to destroy churches and schools. Women, children, and ordinary fools, our bombs are falling, crushing their bones. It's an evil hand that swore on the Bible, uphold justice, keep the world free, but does neither except deceive you and me. Leadership is liable for the crimes they commit. They can pin medals on themselves, but they're guilty every bit. Like a bird on the wing, like glory in the flower, the freedoms are fading by the hour. A man must stand to expose their lies. You can't act dumb while their victims' cries are choked with rifle butts and your apathetic sighs. The whistleblower knows this ain't a pretty thing, blowing the whistle on the intelligence machine. There is no escape from their power and might, but knowing the score is half the fight. Like the titan who stole the gift of fire, information's freedom, it's the gift of light. Like a bird on the wing, like glory in the flower, the whistleblower gives us back the power. Power to the people and the fire of life.
Or others, but now there's 37 ways to talk in this land. And we go round and round, we got the gold in the mouth, and then we got the sewage in the water. Drowned in print with no cause for our brains, because all the people who are there are just merely insane. Yesterdays are just floating in space before us, they're 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 floating in space this time. River, the sea, the friends, the place that we shall be, like Dr. Seuss, the Dinosaur 3, we're partying with guitars in the safety zone. Ba 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 inside your cell phone. And you answer the call from the galaxy nebula. It's a laser straight to your prostate. Every time we go to the market, ones and zeros, you gotta serve at the park. Markets are preying on you. Markets are preying on you. Markets are preying on you. You like it. You're a sheep flavored possum.
I was going to grow.
a connection, they're climbing the walls. Crack about kids and they crack about friends. Maybe some fun, they turn a crack about jokes. We'll be right back.
Take time to go.
It's not dope, you won't cop that you can't cope. Deep water closing off the lines of escape. Gather up the last bits of all you have in all your mess. Catch them in a great big fist and realize what you first missed. There was a lighthouse in the mist while you were out there scrounging hips. You shouldn't piss me off like this. We shouldn't have left off like this. I shouldn't have to clean this mess. Yourself in your position. Tear down all your precautions. All the while the clock stops ticking. I've made my point, come on, let's dig in. I've made my point, come on, just give in. You win. You shouldn't piss me off like this. I will give you your recompense. Without a stitch and try to make the most of it. How did all end up like this? Mounting conflict in our midst. You'll soon be up to your old tricks. You shouldn't piss me off like this. Why should I have to clean this mess? Staring at me from your ditch. Still I wish you all the best. All the while the clock stops ticking. The world stops spinning. I made my point, come on, let's get in. I made my point, come on, let's dig in. I made my point, you win. I made my point, come on, just give in.
Okay.
You guys know who died today?
Prince, huh?
Prince died today.
Oh, man.
Damn, 57.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I was so busy this morning.
Yeah, so yeah. Just before you guys came over, I just saw that.
Yeah.
Whew. It's that period in our lives where all these cats.
Yeah.
And the rock and roll period, too, that everyone's aging.
Yeah.
Are getting less younger.
Yeah.
Fuck, train. Time is a freight train out of control. Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Big time.
We heard Whistleblower Blues, Tap Falco, Panther Burns, and me and Larry. I took Larry to Santa Catalina.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah, cool.
You know what I'm saying? His future mother-in-law from Norway. They dug it big time.
Oh, cool.
Puking on the boat either.
Nice.
And there was a 10-foot swells, 25 mile knot winds.
I used to work on that boat.
Yeah,
we're
well, they're Norwegian Vikings. Good.
Yeah.
Larry's Tennessee, though, but he's tough. I took Thurston, he painted the deck. I had to bust him out of the head.
Oh, man.
People had to piss.
That's torture.
Okay.
I used to have to clean that shit.
Oh, I know. Yeah, Brother Matt worked them. The cattle boats, though, in those days.
That was
Catalina
Express.
Oh, the Express? Yeah, yeah, but they had those old
those
fucking 4 hours
puke sometimes. Buckets.
That was a puke bucket that Thurston was on, a puke trough. And then we had Safety Zone Jack. That's a project Chris Groger in Austin's doing. Great poet. We need some more poems from Chris Gordon. Wire, brand new. Nocturnal Koreans. They're still going, Wire. Big influence on men.
Oh, yeah?
That's why we got the idea of Little Songs.
Oh, yeah.
That's not minute, man. It's minute, because arena rock.
Uh-huh.
But D-Boom said, no, I'll put them together, because people are trying to appropriate patriotic symbols.
Uh-huh.
You got to dilute that kind of power.
Yeah.
D-Boom was the thing.
Yeah.
Very be careful. They're going to be guests soon. These guys, accordion.
Oh, yeah?
It's not, but I was corrected. It's not Norteña. It's from Colombia.
Oh, Cumbia.
Campo.
Cumbia. Valentina. Something with a Valen.
Uh-huh.
Valentina, they call their
cool.
Brand.
Oh, cool.
But they're going to be on Buddies of Joe Bison.
Oh, so. Nice.
And then Al Scorch, Want One. That's that CD there. From out of Chicago, Bloodshot.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah.
They've had a lot of good music. John from the Mekons.
Oh, yeah.
Go for some two-cycle action for that.
That's
today.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
No problem. He's going to be on via Skype in a couple weeks,
cool.
Al Scorch.
Cool.
It's a great name. And People Are Flawed, Howie Reid, brand new album. That's a man in acoustic bass. That's Charlie Hayden.
Uh-huh.
Lemon Kittens, PBS. I found all my old Lemon Kittens. I love this. Do you know this band? From late 70s, early 80s. Wild, crazy. From England. And maybe Friends of Genesis. Throbbing Gristle.
Oh, yeah, okay.
United Dairies was the label. And then Denied Negative Example. That's Bucky from Tar Babies out of Madison. New brand new band. I got read up in the Times. He said, he couldn't believe it. He says, I've only sold like 80 or 90 of these.
Wow.
He wrote about me in the New York Times. And Diane Marie Clova with 10 Days. Finally, brand new Omni, Afterlife. A couple guys from Deer Hunter in that band out of Atlanta. I got to share stage with it. Back to your journey.
Yeah.
So you and your buddy, you get into the movement, you start absorbing the records. It must have like hit on you, man. We should start a band, maybe, because that was the basic philosophy, right?
Right away. We put a band together called the KGB, and
whoa.
It was like it was a which
scary name, bro.
Yeah, and we just played some hardcore music and.
Did you have a logo?
I don't think we did. I think he drew something.
Big ass sword.
Yeah. Oh, we should have done that. We were too young to get that together, but.
Although usually it was a bullet in the back of the neck, but big
yeah.
Sword. Okay.
And, you know.
So did you start writing songs at first, or did you do covers? I always ask people.
A little bit of both.
Because when I started, we only copied records, like assholes.
Uh-huh. No, that's a good thing. Now, you guys
so much
you...
about the movement when people just started writing, right from the get-go.
What did you cover?
Oh, well, of course, all Six Creed's albums.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
D-Boon loved. Yeah. When I met D-Boon, the only rock band he knew was Creed's.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear it. His mom put me on bass. I couldn't hear what the guy was fucking playing.
Yeah.
You know, 20 feet of grape juice, 5 quart or some style. So that's why I got into flannels, because I thought if I wore the singer shirts, D Pete Boone was still like me. I could tell like I was doing. So you did a little of both. When you wrote the songs, did you collaborate? Or did each guy bring, here's my tune, now flesh it out?
It was collaboration. But I feel like we were so young that it was just like a frenzied, like, yeah, that's our song, that's it. There was not an artistry to it that we put to it. It was just, we'd sing about school and, yeah. And you know, it was just kind of like an imitation of everything that we heard.
Okay.
And, yeah.
What came, did you take, the title came last, title came first?
Wow, that's a good question.
Because I always start with titles. If I don't have a title, I have no focus, so I always ask that question. Nobody puts the title first out of that. They always put it last.
I'm going to guess that we did titles last. Okay. I'm going to guess. I think the first thing that would come would be the speed, the tempo.
Right.
So the first thing would be like, we got to do a song that's, you know, this fast or this fast or this slow. I think that's what happened. And then from there, we would put it
kind
together.
Kind of nuanced.
Yeah. He was a... he started on pick, and then I think he started doing more.
Was it bass player?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure. I thought it was a guitar. Look at him.
No, Kenny.
You assume. You make an ass out of you and me.
Kenny was on bass.
Wow, that's fucking bitching. So it wasn't the lonely kick drum having to dance alone.
No.
It's people. I know there's more room in the boat, but fuck. Don't lose the basement. Okay, so he's a bass cat.
Yeah.
Okay.
We used to like Lee Gorman from Bow Wow Wow.
Yeah.
We were big fans of his bass playing.
And that drumming was pretty polyrhythmic.
Yes, I had a timbale. I threw a timbale in imitation of it.
Wow.
I have some timbales.
Now, did you guys do any recordings?
Yes, we did. We recorded
gigs.
A couple of things. Gigs? Yes. Yeah, we did
what
a couple of shows.
First, gigs and recordings?
Gigs.
Okay.
Yeah. And
now, can you remember your first gig?
No, I can't remember. Yes.
Was it a pants shirt? Mine was. Not literally.
Oh,
I had some of those later.
What is that? What did you call it?
Pants shitter, like you shit in your pants.
Oh, no. It must have been, I think during the day at some kind of outdoor bazaar. You know what I mean? Like a bazaar, meaning like they had like some kind of youth activities, and then we're like, hey, we're playing at 1:00. And so we had our amps out there and little plugs.
Little stage.
And I can't remember if there might have been a few adults there, but it was certainly not like a show. It was like, hey, we got to play.
Still, you played in front of people.
Yeah. I have not thought about any of these things until now. For you to ask me that, I'm just really digging
through. Well, I'm curious because everybody's got a different path in music.
Yeah.
That all leads to now.
Yeah. And I'm remembering a PV amp. Remember PV amps? Like, that seems like what everyone has.
They're called a Marshall Mississippi. They're from Mississippi. And my first bass amp that I used for gigs was a PV.
Really?
It was a 400 at 215s. Yeah. It's that really lame sound.
Really, and also really heavy. And I remember, like, the wheels did not work. It was like, sweet. And you put it up.
So you're dragging the motherfucker.
Dragging it, and then you long extension cord. And daylight. I remember it was so un-rock and roll because it was daylight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, your drums.
Drums were,
What'd you carry them in? Everything's a golf sack?
No. Back then, it was just like piling them with no cases.
Yeah,
into,
what?
Stand.
So many
stand,
trips.
Stand, yeah.
Many trips.
And that weird 60s pattern on it. You know, that sort of like, it looks like kind of pearl, black pearl kind of.
Yeah.
What,
some contact paper stuck on the wood.
Yeah,
right.
Kind of rusty, and those are the drums. That was it. You know, and we didn't have a choice.
Now, would you take it from there?
That was kind of it. Like
you didn't play at nighttime.
Oh, we played it. We played at CBGB's once. We played at a couple of Long Island, a couple of Long Island venues like the Right Track Inn, and then we played a place called the Rock Hotel in Manhattan. I remember we opened for a band called GBH, and Murphy's Law played.
I played there once. It was open for a little while.
A little while.
Played there with Helios Creed.
It was like an actual venue.
Yeah. Well, so was CB's.
When we played, it wasn't because we
oh, it turned into a store? Like,
it was like not a legit night. It was like almost like an audition night.
Yeah.
So you just play and they tell you whether you can play again or not.
Oh, okay.
We never heard
that. Because I remember they opened up an annex next door.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah.
Oh, Hilly. Rest in peace. But And we're at the end of the first hour. April 21, 2016, edition of Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two. April 21, 2016, is second hour. Watt for Pedro Show.
agua ha quedado. Quiere más guay, quiere guau, oye, me sé. Quiere guay, mau, oye, sa. Hey, hey, quiere mau. Quiere guay, se guay, mae. Quiere más.
Songs for you. So
Show start the second hour off with A New Wave by Slater Kinney. Yeah, they got back together, brother man.
Yeah, I was reading that.
And then Dead Capo. Yeah, we got a bunch of stuff from this label, Love Monk out of Madrid, Spain. So Dead Capo with Canaza, Ginferno, Skeleton. Kind of skeleton, but spelled true. Medium Rare from Gecko Turner, Pajaro Sunrise, Passing Birds, Parajitos, yeah, that's all birds. Okay, Pyramid Blue, and Fuck Fame by Bart Davenport. Back to the mission. So, KGB lasted how long?
Couldn't have been more than 2 years.
And what broke it up?
I went to college.
So you abandoned your...
I abandoned it, and I didn't get back to playing music for another...
Oh, so in college, no music?
Not really, a little bit, and then...
some dudes, that's where they begin.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
School of Visual Arts in New York. But then,
New
after...
York City?
New York City. Okay. After a couple of years, I met...
So you lived in Manhattan?
Yeah, at the dorms.
Much different... Oh, really? On the campus?
Yeah.
Wow.
At the dorms of...
I've never met anybody who did that.
Yeah. Well, it was just, you know, it makes it easy to live in Manhattan.
Yeah, you don't have to travel.
Yeah. And then I met...
But the difference between Long Island, Manhattan, big time, huh?
Well, yeah, except we were close to it. So our whole... Everyone who lived in our town, you know, our life was based around... Yeah, it was the commuters that went to...
I've been on that, the Long Island Railroad. Yeah. That's how, when I turned 40, I went to Pine Lawn, because that's where John Coltrane is buried.
You went for your birthday?
Because he died at 40.
Uh-huh.
Sad about Prince.
It really is.
Yeah. It is amazing music.
Yeah.
But anyway, I went to his grave. I had to go two times. I thought I was just going to see it. There's 10,000 dudes planted there.
Uh-huh.
So I gave up and I came back and I found the gardener. And he said, yeah, he's in the gardener sanctuary. So then I found him. It was just his name. And he had another space for Alice waiting. But I love it. L-I-R-R. And I got it underneath Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, it's that Penn Station.
That, but it's not the real Penn Station. They tore that down like dumb fucks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I was told, brother.
There's a beautiful piece of architecture.
So,
yeah.
Through the shredder.
Yeah.
Or stucco.
Yeah.
No, this is okay. It's underneath, at least.
Yeah.
Kind of tricky thing.
That's funny that you've been on the Long Island Railroad.
But that's the only time.
Yeah.
See John Coltrane.
Yeah.
Rest in place.
Yeah.
I got to go to Dix Hills, because that's near there. And that's where they saved the house. That's where he wrote Low Supreme.
Now, oh, really?
I've been to his pad in Philadelphia on 33rd Street.
Uh-huh.
He bought with his Navy GI Bill money.
Yeah.
Because of Mary. In fact, they were redoing it. One of the worker men gave me a piece of brick. It's in the boat on the deck.
Would you say...
I didn't steal it. I don't raid relics, okay? But the worker man gave it.
Yeah.
So,
audio... So...
It's just connected with the music?
Yeah. I
You wanted to get into, like, bringing, like, soundtracks to movies?
No, I actually went because I wanted to meet other musicians. In School of Visual Arts, I went there, didn't play for a while, but then I met this guy named Damon, and he had a jacket that said The Damned on it. I was like, ah, this guy's going to be here. This guy knows the deal. So we put a band together, and we moved to Chicago. Called? So it went great.
What was that band called?
Trenchmouth.
Trenchmouth?
Yeah. And we played in Chicago for a long while.
Were you into Frank Zappa? No, that's Trench Foot.
Frank Zappa.
I'm not a big
great.
Zappa fan, but
yeah.
I remember something Trench.
Yeah.
I heard on my
yeah.
or some shit. I'm more of a Beefheart man. But,
you are? It's
well,
funny. They're
you gotta pick one or
the other. Yeah, but they're in the same school of...
The Buddies?
Yeah.
They're just from the desert.
Yeah.
In fact, he ended up helping the captain. Just took him on a tour with his heart.
Oh, really?
Sort of lures and that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
So Trenchmouth, and this was another two-piece band?
No, this was, okay. KGB was a trio. That was bass, drums, and guitar.
Well,
but Kenny was on bass.
Yeah, but who was the third? You got to mention.
His name is Danny.
Okay, Danny.
Danny
Sorry
Schoen.
About that.
Sorry, Danny. No.
You started out as a duet, and then you brought Danny.
And we brought Danny in. So that was, we were a trio. And then, Trenchmouth was a four-piece.
Quartet.
And we played for a long while in Chicago.
So you make
all
a
through
move.
The 90s.
You make a move. From Manhattan,
New York
to
Chicago. Moved to Chicago.
There's another school?
That's it. Damon went to school in Chicago, so I was like, oh, come along.
What kind of school there? They had a film school?
Art school. He went to art school there. And then the bass player, Wayne.
I was conceived in Chicago. I'm born in Virginia, but I'm conceived. There's a boot camp there. And there was a dance for Hungarian refugees. And met my mom at YMCA.
In Chicago?
Yeah, in fact, I borrowed Steve Albini's bike to go ride with it.
Uh-huh.
Little street it was on. My mom gave me the address.
Uh-huh.
And I opened the leash. I said, Ma, I found it. She was, Michael White, you were conceived there.
Uh-huh. Really?
Now, they took away the added a balcony. There was changes to it, but the pad was still there, this apartment.
You're born in Virginia?
Yeah.
What's it?
Conceived
in Chicago. Chicago. What city in Virginia?
Portsmouth.
Uh-huh.
And I lived in Norfolk.
Are you friends?
No smoke, no drink.
Are you a friend of Steve Albini's?
Acquaintance, peer, I guess.
Yeah,
I stayed in his pad for 2 weeks while we were making that album.
Yeah.
I'm very friendly with the cats. Cocked with them every night.
Yeah.
He likes poker.
I love Steve.
Yeah. Also, did you know him there?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've known him more recently, too, like in the past 10 or 15 years.
Did you get to record electrical audio?
We never did, but I just would go and hang out there and stay at that place. I just love that studio.
Did Trenchmouth ever do the tour thing?
A lot. We toured all the time.
Okay,
we bought a van.
That was kind of neat.
Yeah.
Because it's in the middle there.
Madison, Minneapolis.
That's what I'm saying. New England's even closer, but next one is that.
But those roads are so nice. They're so flat, and it's great
to go
to go to Iowa, Sioux City, Iowa, and...
The college town, I would say.
Yeah.
Des Moines,
Indianapolis.
Ames, Iowa Tech.
Rockford,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
The quarter...
Yeah, the
Quad Cities.
It's just, it was great. So
And then there's the other way, too, Indiana.
Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Kalamazoo.
Sure.
That stuff, it was great.
It's the big town for the middle. Yeah. People on the coast think it's all, but for Midwest people, Chi-Town is the big shoulders.
Yeah. We had a great time. We loved it. We toured all the time. And I saw you play in Chicago a bunch. I saw you play in at the...
You were talking to Pharoah's band. Most of those gigs was Cabaret
Metro. Cabaret Metro. So I saw you there a bunch of times.
One time we played a pad called the West End, though, and the owner went off. I think it was on a three-day Cho-Cho binge. Uh-huh. Jumped up on the bar. I don't like this kind of music. Ripped up the tabs. Had a gun.
For what? But for which band?
Pharoah's.
Mm-hmm. I might have seen you also at the Riviera... I feel like opening for the Beastie Boys, yeah.
That's right, one of the last Fire Hose tours.
Yeah.
Beastie Boys, very kind of stuff. There's another man who went touring, Adam Young.
Yeah.
Beautiful man.
Yeah.
Beautiful. My bass got stolen, he sent me one the next day.
Really?
I weighed like 20 pounds, one of these old Gibsons. I played for the New York City gig with him. But he was just so kind.
You got that? Is that the Firebird you're always playing recently?
Thunderbird.
The Thunderbird.
Firebird.
No, no. The SG looking one. What do you call the SG looking one?
Oh.
Yeah. With the double.
Yeah, it's a Gibson thing.
Yeah, that's what I
started playing those around 15 years ago. My hands got sore. I don't record with them, but I do gigs. They're little.
What do you record with?
Big ones, Fenders. I have a big Gibson, a Thunderbird, non-reverse. Yeah, big ones sound better with the low notes. Uh-huh. Live, you can't really tell, but they sound flabby on recordings.
Is there a bass brand you just don't want to play? Is there one that you go, I cannot...
Or Carpenter blames his tools, my buck. Uh-huh. So I try not to, like, stoop to that level, you know, but there are some I like better than others. I would ask the opening bands to use the bass for the gig and not practice on it, just... Because when you don't know a bass, you don't know how far it goes. It's really fun. A lame bass is usually the second time you play. First time, it's like, whoa, what's this all about? You know, how deep she go, how you can push her or can't push her. And, yeah, it's all about finding out. So that first gig, almost any bass is very exciting for me. It's the next gig, like, oh, my God, half the notes on this thing are dead, you know, shit like that.
It's an incredible instrument, the bass. I am it's still, fascinated
it's mysterious.
By it.
It's still finding itself, which I like. I didn't pick it, but I'm glad I got put on it.
Yeah.
And people are always asking me, when are you moving on to another one? I said, there's too much to learn with this. They're asking me to do five string. There's a Toledo company that's been put out of Mike Watt. The Watt Plower.
Cool.
They've been working with me because I wanted, I don't know, I you know, just to do it is kind of a vanity thing, you know, like the thing. But if they really want to do it, you know, I got a little experience, things I like about it, so they go on. I think I'm on the fifth or sixth one now. We're almost there.
What would the body be? Like the, like
kind
a Gibson?
A little like that, like a little lollipop.
Yeah.
I don't like the big long thing on top so much. I love Fenders, but for playing live, this big thing. Yeah. To me, they're different worlds. Like recording, I always sit at. Only dose gigs I did sit at.
Yeah.
People don't want to see you do rock and roll sitting there. Even pizza, I remember the first gig I did, though, he had a stool for the organ man, right? I said, you think I'm going to be the only motherfucker coming out of the cake? Get rid of the stool. He donated it. He didn't even take it home. That stool is still fucking Arizona. But, Trench Mouth, so you made recordings?
We recorded, we played all the time, and I had a great time. I loved playing the drums, but I felt like we were sort of stuck in a...
Facto?
Yeah. We were just stuck in...
Holding pattern.
Yeah. And I felt...
Water.
Yeah. And somewhere in there, I also felt like I wasn't enjoying recording as much as other people did. Some people love being in the studio.
Yeah.
My ears couldn't hear the difference between a good mix and a bad mix. Yeah. I wanted to go home. I would say...
Yeah, but I think that's admirable to admit that. Most dudes, they have the same problem. They just don't admit it, man. I'm shitty mixes.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. I congratulate you. The luster.
Yeah.
Was lacking.
There were people who I could tell were meant to be in the studio, and little by little, it didn't feel like that's where I needed to be or wanted to be. And over in the late 90s, I just started doing comedy, and things started opening up for me in a very... Things became easier for me.
Speaking about comedy... What about, did you have this problem in the band, as drummer being treated as retard? What's that about, man?
I don't know. Maybe it's because you don't plug in that instrument or something like that.
I started putting my drummers at the front of the stage. This denial shit. But drummers are stupid, that they're expendable, they don't have names.
Yeah.
Put them in the back and hide them. It's all rhythm music. What? Deniers.
Yeah.
Denial is going on, brother man. And so I put my drummers way in the front.
Yeah.
And I should have done it with George, especially George Early.
But George is very highlighted. I liked you guys treated him with a lot of respect.
That's actually the political part of the Minutemen.
Yeah.
D. Boone called the words thinking out loud. He said the politics was how we put the band together.
Yeah.
He didn't want the bass and drums being at the bottom of the hierarchy.
Yeah.
Because we're bringing these up. Now, me and him learned together, so we didn't have to teach. So most of the time when we got songs, it was spent on teaching Georgie or giving him areas where he could do the fills and all that wailing stuff.
Yeah.
Congrats to Georgie for getting on the Rolling Stone list of all-time bitchin' drummers.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, top 100.
Yeah, list. Especially that rap.
Yeah. Yeah, this was the last couple weeks or so.
Well, I always knew.
Yeah, we knew.
He's on my top one list. But anyway, that was the idea. And to me, it is comical that the drummers are given such low respect. It is kind of there with bass men, too, but really with the drummers.
Yeah.
This kind of thing. Where we're all doing little rhythmic figures.
Yeah.
You know, who's really doing the Pavarotti 10,000 notes before I repeat thing?
Yeah.
You know, they're all little rhythmic patterns.
Yeah.
But you hit... And you show me a good band that has a lame drummer. Then it's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
It's the hardest.
Yeah, you're...
Okay, so you're still into expression, but you want to take it to another place.
Yeah.
You never tried other instruments?
I play some guitar.
Oh, okay.
I play some guitar.
And how'd you get into that?
They're around. They're just always around. So, I'll just...
Georgie, too, a little bit.
Yeah.
In fact, Georgie went and built one.
Oh, yeah?
That's how he is. He built one.
He's a carpenter, too, right? Yeah, he makes things, yeah.
He was a surfboard thing.
Yeah, I heard him on a podcast. He was on an interview as well.
Maybe with Chris, Meat Puppet Basement.
Yeah. So he was talking about that. That's your...
Georgie's a doer. So is Pizzo, my organ man and second man.
Yeah.
There's these guys, their pop always had something in the garage, you know, a little shop, and they're fabricated. They can make things really good with their hands.
Are you good at building things?
Not like them.
Yeah.
Never had a garage.
Every time I try to put a shelf up...
Got one now, but it just barely fits the boat.
Yeah.
So I can't have anything in there.
Yeah.
The van.
In the van, And you still have the same...
I call it boat
for
slang.
Yeah, you have the same one you've had for you? Fourth one.
I've been doing this a little while.
How new?
I had one boat for 34 years.
How new is this one?
11 now? Uh-huh. You know, it stopped. August 2014, no more Econo Lines. Yeah.
Why?
53 years.
Why?
They went to the transit. I don't know why. Motherfuckers. Now, maybe that's why Ford stands for only rolling downhill.
Uh-huh.
So how many miles you got in that sucker?
This guy, 180. I could get... God, I just got brakes for it. I didn't have to do anything for it for 10 years, and I just barely had to get new pads. If you maintenance,
you do
last.
You do.
Also, you get them too strong.
You get them too strong?
You get the 150s, you get the 350s, you get the one ton.
Uh-huh.
You over-design. Yeah, because if you get things at the margins, they run too hard.
Uh-huh.
You also get the big... 6.8 liter I've never been to the floor on that thing, you know. Have to, so things run calmer. And the rotors on the brake—they're like this. The radio people, it's thick. This is my advice for you band people: don't get the phone company ones, the 100s with the straight six, you know, and never skimp on brakes, rubber, or suspension.
What about changing the oil?
Motor brake,
and all that
that's
stuff.
Part of maintenance every 3,000 miles.
How do you feel about air conditioning? Do you keep it on?
This is the first boat I had with one. First one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was always really loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shirts, never wore shirt stripe. Especially east of the Rockies.
Uh-huh.
It's not north south. It's the whole fucking thing. It's humid as a mother.
Uh-huh.
Been in Montreal in the summertime. Probably St. Louis. So this one had it because they didn't have an option without it.
Yeah.
Still had crank windows though, fuck. Right? Got to turn the motor back on and roll up the windows. Man, we want cranks, huh? You also don't want windows.
Uh-huh.
Well, you need a couple. Especially one up front, huh? But you don't want them in the back. because they don't want what they can't see.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no.
They don't want what they can't see.
My little touring tips.
Huh? I like that.
Yeah. No peeking.
So yeah, because you said the bummer about music was the studio.
Yeah.
A lot of dudes, it's the road that eats them up.
No, that I liked.
It's me too. In fact, I could, maybe this gets into the comedy a little bit, but I consider myself in the tradition of vaudeville.
Yeah.
What I'm doing.
It's pretty literal. I mean, you are going out there. Yeah.
In those days, farmers. No TV, no radio. They had to have cats work the towns.
Yeah.
And why can't that ethic? Why did that ethic have to go away? I don't think it has to.
No,
just
I
like
agree.
Just like fanzines and the internet.
I
why
agree.
Why do we all have to go to the fake book? Why can't everybody have their own website, their own fanzine?
Yeah.
No middleman, no filter.
Yeah, agreed.
And so I look at this wave with touring. Yeah. Plus, you know, the other stuff when you're not playing, you know, the Bob Wire Fence Museum.
Right.
And stuff like that.
Plus getting to meet all these people.
Right.
Hear all these accents, hear these languages.
Ciao.
Food. I mean, it's incredible. When else do you get to have...
That's right.
Real...
It's an interesting work.
Yeah.
It's got some benefits.
Yeah.
So it was the studio thing that really frosted you on it.
Yeah, and it also sent a message to me, too. I thought people who love to do this, who are meant to do this...
Oh, you're taking their place.
They're
kind of a Bogart.
Yeah, I thought, like, what am I? You know, there are people who are meant to do
this. Give it up. Let it go.
And right. And instead of me struggling with music, when I started to do comedy, it felt like less of a struggle to me.
Okay.
Yeah, but I still keep all the
I mean, coming up with jokes ain't tough too. I mean, being creative.
It's
get me wrong. It should never be solved. That should always be a dilemma. Like, what do I do?
Absolutely.
When they figure that out, oh my God.
Forget. That's the end. Right? Yeah. That's the end.
Take the L out of Lover. It's over. Put a fork in it. Look, we're getting to that time.
Cool. Right.
For the Spin Cycles. And we got a special collaboration.
Yeah.
We're going to have a summit here.
Yeah.
And good people, listen.
Thank you. mine. Pour a lot on a friend of mine. Keep cool, don't swear a lot. I think you wonder what the hell I got.
I'm a rockin', rockin' daily. I'm a rockin', oh yeah. I'm a rockin' daily.
That's right.
I'm a rockin'.
Having a stack of CDs handed to me before we started from Love Monk.
Love Monk out of Madrid.
Hey.
And to collaborate.
Yeah, thank you, Fred.
Yeah,
my pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jerry for the use of his electric bongos. Yeah.
Thank you, Jerry.
He's on the docks right now. I feel he'll be picking him up this afternoon.
Thanks, Jerry.
It's been second hour, April 21, 2016. Dish Walk, Pedro Show, hold tight for hour three. April 21, 2016, it's the third hour of the Walk from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Hill to meet him in the dirt patch he was weeding. That was our first look at Aunt Peg's new old man. Uncle Hank was 75. He lived well and then he died, and none of us had nothing against her new old man. She liked his fiddling, no doubt, liked his help on the rural route, and the rest didn't bear thinking about Aunt Peg's new old man. We sat down and we got fed along grace, but what a spread, the chicken was just an hour dead and the stew was made of barley. I pulled out my banjo after a while, but he didn't like the scrub style. Listen up, boy, this year's called going down to Raleigh. Old Aunt Peg begun to frail. They got going on the Texas gales. Hit my ears like an awful whale. I wish I could hear it again. No, he had no use for the modern stuff. His back was strong, his hands were rough, but he rocked her old age. Sure enough, Aunt Peg's new old band. Played dances, made the rounds, gay lads to Rocky Mouth tunes. They knew no one could count. It was all in her heads and hands. And you could do worse as a widow than to find a man to spade and hoe and raise a little hell with a longbow and Peg's new old man. Yeah, she liked his fiddling, no doubt, liked his help on the rural route, and the rest didn't bear thinking about Aunt Peg's new old man. Yes, yeah, she liked his fiddling, no doubt, liked his help on the rural route, and the rest I don't want to think about Aunt Peg's new old man.
the deep end of the conversation. In a moment, down further on the couch, oblivious to the noise around, were a few moments of grace that revealed common ground and the need for understanding. Troubles negotiated freely toward an imaginative truce, a chance agreement in the conversation, a small miracle in the petri dish. Just this one time talking and dragging things down a little, digging out a little trouble and attempting to solve the world's problems. Have a nice time talking. Who knows where it may end? By giving it some meaning already, leading these things on linguistically and actually doing good by this. Talking your way out of a hole and coming up with something that would result in a handshake. And therefore, you did it for today.
Shut up, 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 sh
Pedro show. We started the third hour off with Nervous Genders. Tell Fred here about the incredible band. Yeah, you didn't have to have a guitar. That'd be the punk band those days.
Mm-hmm.
You could be from East LA. You could do anything. Toronto, artist, singer, man was a great cat. I was thinking about him the other day.
Speaking of East LA.
It's hard losing people, man.
Yeah. Speaking of East LA, Alice Bag just did an album, huh?
That's right.
Of all these years,
first album. Yeah, finally cool. Finally, Alice Bag. That's the first punk band me and D Boone saw. The Whiskey, yeah.
Alice Bag?
The Bags. They were called the Bags, and the singer was Alice Bag. And the first thing out of my mouth, I looked at D Boone and I said, we can do this.
Uh-huh.
it was like the big Geo.
Uh-huh.
Come on. And then when I met Joey Ramone later, he told me that that's what the movement was like. He said it was like Big Hay Wagon. He says, yeah, you got something to bring? Get up. Jump on board. You got something to bring? Lucy on the Telly with Red Hair. I was live on Richard Meltzer's Health Cats from Hell. He's telling one of my big heroes lives up in Portland. And I got to, in fact, he was on the show. I just played up there with X, with my second man. And we got to talk to Richard.
Cool.
But he couldn't go to the gig because somebody gave him some rhubarb whiskey. And his stomach was all kind of messed up. Never heard of rhubarb whiskey.
That's probably why he got sick on it.
Yeah. Well, you know me, it was brown. It's going down. Mm-hmm. After, though. Not on the wheel, not on the stage.
Uh-huh.
But after. We have the clock pad, everything's safe. We have a good time.
All good things and all good time.
Canal Street. Brother Steve McKay, Radar Ensemble. We lost him. Played that thing for his wife. Yeah, that was terrible. Robbie Folks. Aunt Peg's New Old Man, that's Bloodshot, great Chicago. From Long Beach, Slippers and Esalon with Deimos, it's part of their Go to Mars opera piece, whatever. Joe Brewer with out of Madison with Deep End of the Conversation poem. Coma and Algiers, can't remember from, not Algiers. Might have been, I see a coma. For what? Tokyo Savannah from Brazil with Thick Smoke. Death Pedal out of Glasgow with Good Versus Evil. And finally from Germany, David Nusselhoff with Hegel. Getting a little philosophical. Good Versus Evil. I guess you get some like kind of dialectic. Okay. You quit drums?
I mean, I've always kept drums with, you know, as part of my life.
Yeah, right. But as your main...
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like with... So people, it's just a Rimbaud with poems, like 2-3 years.
Yeah, stops.
Elvin Jones, he has oxygen tank, you know, he's going down swinging, you know. But I don't think one's more legitimate than the other.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just...
I'll always be a drummer. It'll always be a part of my life.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
I want to get some skills on it.
Yeah.
Show me, you know. We were talking off the air, people, my proc dad always has a kit set up. So I don't have to be fucking late.
Yeah.
For set up and tear down. Yeah. It's time to pack. It's time.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the other idea is, hey, why don't you make use of that and start learning slowly?
I bet you'd be great.
Well, I know it would play bass better
at
the end of the day. Yeah. Because it's rhythm. So, I think he goaded me into it when it started. Yeah.
How did the comedy thing, once you transitioned to that, how did that progress?
I went to South by Southwest, you know, that festival.
I did this year.
Oh, yeah.
Like my 10th time when not wanting to do it, that I was brought.
Yeah.
Although this one was, I was only there one day, but it was neat.
Nice, good time?
Yeah, it was, you know, also, it was just flying in. First time where I didn't drive around and all
that.
Yeah,
cool.
So, you went to this thing with Trench Mail?
No. I went. I was just going to play some music.
Okay.
But I went with a video camera and I started doing interviews with people as different characters. You know, just as a sort of goof. You know.
Yeah.
And from that videotape of me doing these fake interviews. I started to just...
What gave you that idea?
I don't know.
You just thought, man, there's a lot of characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So it just...
There is a lot of...
Oh, yeah. It was for no reason. It was just... it just happened. And then that video just sort of made the rounds, and I showed it at different clubs and stuff, and I noticed right away I started getting more attention than I ever did in Trench.
You're showing the...
The video. Someone edited it for me of me doing these fake interviews, and then...
So it's like a gig.
Yeah.
So then you did a few of those different type things, huh?
Yeah, and then it just, all of a sudden...
Oh, so the comedy wasn't getting up in front of people and telling jokes.
It was doing characters. It was me as a sort
okay,
of...
Okay.
As for example...
Because
me as,
I know some musicians that have... That yeah. bass man in Cobra Verde, he went to stand. There's some cats who get me
yeah.
telling jokes. The drummer man for Bob Mould.
Yes.
And Super Chuck.
Famously, yeah. Famously.
Worcester?
Worcester. Yeah.
John Worcester.
Yeah.
I just saw him in Memphis when I was on tour with Tap.
Oh, cool.
And this guy, and he's still a drummer man.
Yeah.
But he's... He got into telling jokes in front of people.
Yeah, and doing like prank calls and stuff.
He did. Does that?
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Tom and Tobacco loves that.
Yeah. So
I know a guy in Pittsburgh, he's really into that. He wanted to know what I knew about it, and I only knew about them
Jerky Boys.
Guys. Remember that?
Yeah.
You know, fuck a movie out.
The Jerky Boys.
Yeah.
I never saw it, I can imagine. That it wears a little thin, you know.
Yeah.
So, okay. Okay, they were these little skits.
Yeah, so then that sort of... I started getting more and more gigs from that. I started doing it for TV, and very, very quickly that turned around where I started doing it more and more. And before I knew it, that's what I was doing for a living.
Now, since you're dealing with people like that, it wasn't scripted.
Yes, unscripted.
You were just bouncing off in the moment.
Yeah.
These guys, like,
yeah.
Well, look, he's got his beard made to be like a soup bowl.
Right, yeah.
Let me get into that.
Yeah.
Let's get his... Last music for this edition.
Thank you.
Negro Show. Last music of this edition, Barrett Whitfield, The Savage, Sugar, The Bloodshot. Yeah, because I stay in Chicago.
Yeah.
I didn't know about Long Island. Thanks for learning.
Oh, yeah.
Lou Reed.
Lou Reed.
I read the Victor Bachris book, read it. He got shock therapy there. Yeah, blasted his brain. Fucked up. As a young man, younger man. Sugar. He lives in a park called Beverly. It's near Boston. Won't Come Back, Total Eclipse. That's out of Lyon, France. Kiss Me Fast, My Mother's Coming, Thomas Burkitt's Jig by Ed Heslam. I think that's over in England. Shy Squad, Ziggin Sauce, Zigoiner Sauce. Sorry, German people. Although I think these are Auslanders that are living there because they spell Scheisse wrong. And then Broken Brain, Art Trip, and the Static Sound. Brand new. Labor Camp with Lazy Daisy in the Sky. It's got Paul Rosser with Kirk.
Oh, cool.
And finally, John Truby with Time House. And time is how. We're at the end of the show. Do you ever have cats come up to you asking for advice?
Yes.
Because I'm going to do that right now.
Okay.
What advice would you give somebody getting into the music racket and given your experience with KGB and Trench Mouth?
Make sure to be around people who make you laugh. I think that makes the time go much faster, and you get to enjoy your time no matter what. I think the laughing part, like someone, it's like a sensibility you have with somebody. It says a lot more than just a shared opinion on comedy. It says you share an aesthetic.
That's interesting. You remember an old Portland band called Wipers?
Of course.
They were huge for us, okay?
Yeah.
I met Sam Henry, the first drummer. Man.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So I asked him, what was it like to be in the Wipers? Drummers.
Right.
Said, rule number one, no laughing in the band.
Why?
And it made me think of that because your advice. That's what
it's great.
They'd be torn. You said they also, Greg did all the driving, like I think 40 miles an hour. That's what Sam Henry told me. And it's a great honor to meet him.
Yeah.
And then you learn an insight like that. It's like, whoa.
Did you guys
takes a lot of colors to make a rainbow, doesn't it?
Did you guys laugh in your van?
Oh, fuck yeah, man. And argue a lot, too. Especially Minutemen days. A lot of arguing.
I don't picture the Minutemen arguing ever.
Oh, completely. Pulling the boat over and, like, socking it out.
We're
driving to the library to find whether King Henry II or Henry III had to walk through the snow to get back from excommunication. Insane shit. Deepin was really into history. And Georgie's good with things, making things. And, you know,
that's what you guys argued?
Fucking mind. And so you mix that all together, and all firstborns.
Uh-huh.
So all strong-headed guys in that. Yeah. We never lived in the same pad. Me and Deepin a little bit. When I was having knee surgery, we both lived at my ma's for a little bit. He was between pads. Yeah.
You had knee surgery
twice. I was born with bad knees. And in fact, this ligament is gone. So people who see me limping, don't push me down, please. I'm challenged. It doesn't hurt, but I just can't wait. That's great advice, though.
Yeah.
How we brought up that thing, excellent. Not saying
that
Mr. Sage was right.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting counterpoint. The whole idea is there are many ways to do expression.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a whole nother conversation.
Man, is that an overworked word or what?
Yeah.
Remember rap? Do you remember a show that used to be on locally called Let's Rap when you were a boy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rap used to mean talking.
Yeah.
The conversation, when I hear this word now,
it's
not a verb.
Yeah.
It's the noun part.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's it. But I guess converse is the word. I'm a fuck up. Well, thank you so much for being on, though.
I want to say I'm very happy to be in San Pedro.
Yeah.
And,
or even, you can
or just Pedro.
Yeah, because we like to breathe. We like to breathe.
Right.
Yeah.
What did you call the hospital?
Hoss.
The Hoss. Oh, that's great.
Sometimes you do the other way, though.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just care about people.
Yeah.
So you don't say ho. You say the tail.
Ah.
Okay, it's been April 21, 2016 edition of Wapapito Show. Everybody, keep your powder dry. Yeah.